This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
No Stugatz today. He is celebrating his 48th birthday.
Happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
So we go ostensibly, allegedly younger with Jorge Sedano at 42 years old, but he is joining us from Los Angeles, and he has thrown out his back. And you would have loved to have seen the greeting between him and Roy Bellamy. Roy Bellamy is very stoic. Jorge Sedano said, "How you doing?" Hasn't seen him in a long time. Sees his face, says, "How you doing?" And Roy's response is, "Don't worry about it."
Don't worry about it. I'll tell you later.
Put it on the poll.
That's what he said.
Guillermo, put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. Have you ever responded to "How you doing" with "Don't worry about it"? Now, here's one of the things that happens, because Sedano has been doing radio for many years, and I don't know if you, like Stugatz, care at all about consistency of your takes over 2 and 3 decades, where you have to have things line up or people will call you a hypocrite. Stugatz doesn't take any inventory of that, never mind week to week or year to year, and sentence to sentence. But how do you feel, because I'm curious, because you've become a Los Angeles homer, how do you feel about the throwing of baseballs at people as a way of adult problem solving?
No, I'm still against it. Like, I still think trying to bean somebody with a 96-mile-per-hour fastball is not pretty smart. It's not ideal. It's just a form of machismo. However, the Carlos Correa pitch was a breaking ball at 87 miles per hour. I don't know if he was trying to hit him. He did definitely. Joe Kelly tried to hit Alex Bregman. I don't think there's any question about that. But the Correa stuff, that was just, I think that one just got away from him. But they will build a statue outside of Dodger Stadium now. There aren't that many of them. Jackie Robinson is out there. But Joe Kelly may get a statue outside of Dodger Stadium now because of last night.
Well, not only did he throw a baseball at the head, toward the head of Bregman, but he also, as an added bonus, yawned after doing it.
Just, he did.
I thought was the greater disrespect. Put it on the poll at Le Batard Show, Guillermo. Greater disrespect, throwing a baseball at Bregman's head or yawning in his face after you've thrown a baseball at his head? But I am willing in this one instance, Jorge, because I've been saying for decades, this is stupid for adults to throw baseballs at each other. But in this one instance, I am allowing it. I am allowing it because the Astros are dirty cheaters and people have to remind them of it every once in a while. I know Dusty Baker, and I love the idea that Dusty Baker, who is weathering the coronavirus at a dangerous age, is out here getting hot and bothered protecting these guys he met 4 minutes ago. All of these cheaters who did all this cheating and made a job available to him only because they were cheating. I love how hot and bothered he is. And he's not wrong when he says throwing 3-0 pitches toward people's heads. That's, you get into dangerous career implications. But that was the curveball, right?
Well, yeah, that he owes them one, though, Dan, because if they didn't cheat, he wouldn't have gotten the job, right? So he owes them.
That's true. Dusty Baker, by the way, after the game, said what really angered everybody was what Joe Kelly told Carlos Correa when he struck him out. Allegedly, this is what Baker said that Kelly said to him. "Nice swing, B," as in,
Billy, how did you feel seeing baseball return to some sense of normalcy with a bench-clearing brawl where nothing happened and people were wearing masks? And as they got there outraged, they're like, wait a minute, shouldn't we go back to the dugout? We shouldn't be this close to each other.
Probably not a good idea. Probably not a good idea to be getting so close to each other with everything that's going on. Like, honestly, I'd rather get hit with a baseball than be 6 feet away from someone at this point, right? Like, I don't want to be around with all these people.
Way is I'm seeing a lot of guys spit. Okay, I read early on before the season that players are not supposed to spit.
Dusty Baker spit last night. Is there some sort of like phone line I can call? Like, kind of a lot of people spit, and I want to.
All right, your phone line stinks.
Terrible.
Fix whatever's going on with your microphone. We understood about a third of what you said. Billy, I need to understand how you received the news that the coronavirus had become infected with the Marlins. I need to know how it is that you felt as your team became the standard bearer for disease.
I was overjoyed, Dan. How do you think I felt? It was horrible. It was horrible. And now that, you know, everybody's screaming at them and everybody's, you know, blaming them. And it's kind of like, guys, these people are sick with this virus that everybody is fearing across the country. It's a bunch of George Sedanos out there right now saying we should punish the Marlins for getting sick, you know? Obviously, you would think it was some sort of breach of protocol, right? Because how else did they get it and no one else did? But that's yet to be determined.
Should we suspend them?
I think we should contract them. Contract them. Just contract them altogether. Like, why? No one would miss them except Billy. Let's be real here.
You know what's, I don't want to say good about this, but you know what's funny about the solution to this problem is that apparently because of the fact that they're expecting teams to miss games, like the Marlins are going to miss games, their playoff seedings are not going to be on wins and losses. It's going to be win percentage, right? So the Marlins are 2-1. So they have a 667 win percentage, right? So for like the next week and a half, they're going to be in first place without playing a game because another team is not going to have a higher win percentage.
Wait a minute. What a great loophole. They should start infecting each other for the rest of the season. They'd already have clinched a playoff spot if what you're telling me is true. Ain't nobody going to finish with a 67 win percentage, 67%. No.
They're going to be a one seed at this point. If they don't play another game this season, they're going to be the top seed in the playoffs right now.
Look, I watched the Marlins. I actually watched the game that they lost against the Phillies, and I didn't know that version of the team. What the hell are they going to put on the field? What, like, who are they going to get? Where is, like, Pokey Reese going to be running around out there? Like, who are they going to get to play for them? Where are the players coming from? Are they going to field a normal roster? Like, they're not allowed to get near anybody. They're not going to play baseball games until Sunday.
Can Charlie Huff still come out and smoke cigarettes and throw knuckleballs? Is that still possible?
I mean, I think we may say Jeets take shortstop this coming week.
Oh, my God. He'd pull a Roger Dorn, like in Major League. Remember when Roger Dorn brought himself back? That could be Jeets playing shortstop.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Could Charlie Huff still give you five innings of knuckleballs with a cigarette in his mouth? Now, Sedano, what happened to you? How did you throw out your back? And also put this on the poll, Guillermo. Is throwing your back out the exclusive domain of the elderly at Levitard Show? What happened to you? You threw your back out?
Yeah, so this is what happened, Dan. I was like, you know what? During this quarantine, I'm probably going to eat a lot. I'm probably going to drink a lot, right? So I need to make sure I still exercise. So I went out to the trails near my house every day and started going up and down the hills, right? And it's like 6 to 8 miles in general, depending on which trail I choose. So all of a sudden, I'm taking the trails. And I'm still drinking every night, eating every night, drinking wine, eating whatever that I want, ice cream for dessert, whatever. And I find myself little by little losing weight despite all the food I'm eating because of all the miles I'm putting on. So I'm like, it's the fountain of youth. I can lose 6-7 pounds and I can maintain that weight by just doing 6 to 8 miles of hiking every day. So I'd give myself a day off. I kept trying to push myself because I'm an idiot. And every about 3 weeks, I'd give myself a day off. So that totaled about 6 days off. And then last week, my hip and my back were getting sore. And I'm like, all right, I'll take one day off. I'm doing my LA radio show in this chair that I'm sitting in. I get up in one of the breaks to go get some water. And then it's like, oh, my God, I can't get up. So I literally had to do the last hour of my show standing up as I'm texting my wife frantically, bring me a leave, bring me something, bring me an ice pack because I got to finish the show. And I've thrown on my back. So a week later, I'm finally back to working out as yesterday I did 6 miles again. But it took almost a week to do that.
All right. You're a real American hero. Keep in mind, everybody, that Sedano is doing this show on pain meds.
Yeah, and Flexeril.
And, he is drugged out. And also put on the poll, Guillermo, please, at Levitard Show. Are you a fossil if you throw out your back while doing a radio show? I don't need a rebuttal from you here, George. Just do the Sports
Center. No, I agree.
Just do the Sports Center read.
I'm voting yes. There's no question.
Jorge Sinano in with us today. Stugatz has been arrested for fraud. We don't know when he will be back. We don't know how the authorities finally caught up to him after all of these years. But he will be back at some point. I'm sure I will be responsible for providing the bail. Some folks are celebrating and remembering a tremendous run here on ESPN Radio by Mike Golic Sr. and the Golic and Wingo Twitter account. Just sent out a nice little video of father and son, Golic Sr. in a headband, and they're playing rock, paper, scissors in the video. And a guy gets in here because this is necessary. This is exactly why this show failed. Just talk sports, ! It's a sports talk show. People don't like the little skits. Walk down the hall and tell Lebatard and Stugatz the same thing. Just talk about sports, please. Sir, if you've noticed what's happening at ESPN, they're going to give it to you your way, homogenized, okay? Just not here. It's not going to be here in this little shrinking space from 10 to 12. So the thing that I wanted to get into with Sedano, beyond getting stories about Stugatz from him, how many of those do you have? Because Stugatz fears Jorge Sedano. He's the only person I've ever seen Stugatz fear, because Sedano knows where all the bodies are buried. How many exclusive Stugatz stories do you have for us today?
I have I wrote them down. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for today if necessary. But we could roll them over to tomorrow if we have to.
Okay. Well, what would you like to do? Because you want to start with just the middle one, not the best one? You want to just give the people a Stugatz story that, because these are all stories nobody has heard, right? Because Stugatz is always partaking in some sort of scheme, some sort of fraud. These are 5 stories no one has heard.
Yeah, well, it depends, right? Because Billy was telling us during the break that Stugatz is already trying to pull shenanigans because I think he's afraid that I'm going to uncover the bodies, right, Billy?
Stugatz had scheduled off, well, it's Stugatz, right? So there's a whole adventure about how this week went with him. We knew that he was going to be off Monday and Tuesday, right? And then and the calendar just appeared because I guess Stugatz just learned how to put things in the calendar, which is dangerous because what he's been doing, by my observations, is just sneaking in days off there and not really telling anyone. And then he defaults to, well, I put it in the calendar. But these 2 days, today and tomorrow, were extremely suspicious from the jump because it said Stugatz off, perhaps, unless Dan needs me, then I could possibly work. And I immediately said, all right, we need to plan for a fill-in because there's no way in hell that Stugatz is going to be working. And that perhaps is a dead giveaway that he wants those days off, right? So we planned for George to come in today and tomorrow, right? Now, this morning at about 9:50 a.m., moments before we come on the air, Stugatz sends an email saying, guys, guess what? Listen, where I am, the tournament, not going to be 3 days, only going to be 2. So I think that I'm going to be able to come in tomorrow. Not sure yet. Where do we stand on Friday? Am I coming to the studio? Not really sure yet. So we're already doing a thing where I don't know if Stugatz is going to be working tomorrow. I don't know where he's going to be Friday. But he already has the wheels in motion, which is just, let me confuse it as many people as possible. And then whatever I decide to do, I told someone that thing. And I can always say, I told someone
that
story.
That's the move, right? He is an octopus of lies. He just spread his tentacles everywhere. And then one of them is telling a partial truth. And that's the one that he will stick to. Sedano, give us one of the stories. I also think he wants to get in here because he doesn't want Sedano telling some of these stories. So give us a taste. Give us a little taste of what people are in store for that Stugatz does not want told on the airwaves.
I'm going to give you just an appetizer. This is the weakest one of them all, okay? So I get a text one day from Stugatz.
Chris is just, I can see Chris mouthing, I love appetizers.
So, by the way, I got a great story for Chris later that we'll get to. It involves Crocs and fried chicken, which I feel like is totally up his alley. But anyway, so one day I get a text from Stugatz, and it's just random, like, hey, would you want to get paid to do a tailgate? And I'm like, this sounds like one of these crazy Stugatz schemes.
Yeah, it's suspicious.
And I'm like, yeah, well, what do I got to do? Like, what do you mean? Like, what kind of tailgate? And he's like, I've got this guy. And he gives me the guy's name, who I won't reveal because I don't want to put the guy's name out there. Just because Lord knows what he was involved in. And he says, here's such and such. He's a friend of mine. He'll get you paid to do like tailgate parties since you're in LA for like USC and UCLA. And I'm like, okay, are you sure there's no strings attached? Like, he's like, yeah, couple grand, whatever. And I'm like, now it sounds really too good to be true. A couple of grand for just a couple of hours to hang out at a tailgate? I don't know if I'm buying this. And he's like, yeah, I've also got the Golics involved with Notre Dame. So I'm like, okay. I said, well, have your guy reach out to me. The guy never reached out to me. So I don't know how true any of this is, and I almost feel like we should phone a friend and call Mike Golic Jr. and see if he ever heard about this story, since he invoked, Stugatz that is, the Golic's name in this particular nonsense that he was trying to involve me in.
All right. We've got Mina Kimes coming up here. Mina Kimes is going to join us here shortly, but we're hoping the stories get better than that one, because low-grade fraud isn't going to cut it, Sedano.
Just like, an appetizer to wet your...
I know.
Just a little aperitif, you know, to wet your lips.
Okay, thank you. I want them to get better, though, because we all know that Stugatz is always trying to maneuver to make sure that someone somewhere gets thousands of dollars that isn't reported to the government in any way.
Well, I'll just tease it this way. My next one will be how Stugatz stole my show one time. Literally stole my show.
How are the Golics always involved in Stugatz's lies? Stugatz is so upset that Stugatz must be so upset right now that his option of doing mornings with Golic is gone,
yeah.
And the afternoons, Greeny and Weenie, that's not going to happen, because Greenberg wants to do the show by himself.
Yeah,
don't sell Stugatz short on closing the doors on any of these options, Dan. We'll get to some of those stories later.
All right, very good.
Boring.
That was directed at you, Sedano. We do not have Stugatz today, but in his place, we have put a whole bunch of drugs inside of Sedano to help him with some back pain. So he will be slurring his way with bad judgment throughout the program. We will not be able to recreate through drugs or any other means the general counterfeit fraudulence that is Stugatz. But in every other way, Sedano is trying to play the role of Stugatz with us here today. I want to get his basketball expertise on a handful of things, because we got Rachel Nichols joining us in the 12 o'clock hour. Lakers and Clippers are about to play, and I wanted to talk to Sedano about that. But before we get to that, you may have noticed that the WNBA players upped the ante a little bit. The Liberty and the Storm weren't even kneeling for the anthem. In the event you've become numb to that, they just walked off the court. And the comments on that were predictable. You know, nobody was watching, et cetera, et cetera. It's real easy to rip the women for not having popularity. But one thing I've always noticed, even as someone who has said before that I love women and I love basketball, but I don't love women's basketball, is that people who are ballers, like the basketball, the NBAers, they really support the difficulty of what those women do for very little money. It's why Kyrie Irving has just put in $1.5 million to pay women who opt out. You never hear a bad word about the WNBA from people who know how hard it is to do that for a living in the NBA. But what I wanted to talk to you about, Sedano, because I don't know how this is for you, but as I see the Yankees and Nationals all take a knee, and I see the president of our country basically, it seems like, allegedly lie about being invited to throw out a first pitch at a Yankee game and then say he's not going to do this thing that he wasn't actually invited to do, as I see not only the Red Sox with a Black Lives Matter billboard outside of Fenway Park, but also playing the Black National Anthem, which I, honest to God, didn't even know there was a Black National Anthem until like a month ago. Yeah. Put it on the poll at Levitard Show, Guillermo. Did you know there was a Black National Anthem a month ago? One of the things that I find happening here, George, as people ask us to stick to sports, but less and less do I recognize the freedom that my exile parents came to get in this country, because, you know, I'm seeing police officers who aren't in uniform in unmarked vans throwing protesters into cars. I see what's happening in Portland that's appalling. I find myself, George, and this is shocking to me because my life's really good. My life is something, this pandemic, and I'm ashamed to say this, this pandemic for me personally has just shrunk my life into a way that's more peaceful. It hasn't actually day to day been bad, except for what I'm about to say. Because of everything happening in this country, I have absolutely discovered for the first time in my life that I am always saddled with something that feels like low-level anxiety or depression. And it's not based on anything that's happening inside my doors. It's based on the things that are happening outside my doors. And one of the things that's happening, George, as WNBA players walk off the court instead of kneeling, you're never going to get back those people who think it's disrespectful to kneel. There is nothing they can do. There aren't fence sitters on that one. The people who are arguing on behalf of you shouldn't kneel in front of the flag aren't going to be moved by what they view as double the disrespect in just walking off during the national anthem. But what has to happen in this country and what is happening in this country for some of these movements to take place where you actually see people listening on racism and corporations doing anything on racism is white people have to be this kind of uncomfortable. Like, it's required, because when white people are comfortable, the racism just continues to happen without anyone listening. It requires the discomfort to open up ears, but some people are so uncomfortable with that discomfort that they just run away from the entire conversation. But in order to get movement on some of this stuff, you absolutely have to create discomfort for white people. It's not optional. It has to be so.
Yeah, I agree. And the reality is, Dan, is that I think that what happens now is, to your point, people can just tune it all out. Because there's so many distractions in our lives in 2020, right? For example, if you don't want to consume news, right, because it overwhelms you and makes you uncomfortable, oh, I can just turn on Netflix and I can go down that rabbit hole for, you know, 10 or 12 hours. And I think that as much as I agree with you wholeheartedly, right, about all of the things you just laid out, and I do think it's important to make people feel uncomfortable, because making people feel uncomfortable then makes them become introspective. I just think there's going to be a section of the population that is always going to just shrug their shoulders, or worse, potentially fight back and push back, potentially even in a more violent way in comparison. So I just don't know if we're ever going to get to that point, Dan. Like, I think that
you don't have to get to consensus, George. You're always going to have the people with the swastika masks in Minnesota walking through a mall. You don't have to get to consensus. All you have to get to is majority, because majority is what has been doing the racism for the longest of time. It's not consensus that's required here, just majority.
But I think we are, for the most part, at a majority. The problem is we also have a vocal minority, right? And the vocal minority, because it literally is that. I mean, you can look at the numbers, okay? Go back to the numbers of 2016, not the Electoral College, right? I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole. But the point is, the popular vote was one way and the Electoral College was another way. So the majority of this country is in for this movement. The majority of the country is in for more progressive ideas. However, just the way that it is set up for us to vote for these things isn't necessarily equivalent to the way that the masses feel, right? Like, that's just the rules are set up in a way where the majority can't necessarily get their way unless they get a blowout, right? To use a sports language there.
That's as it relates to voting. I'm talking about what.
Well, no, but
happening.
I just think in general. But that all starts with who you put in office, Dan. From a local perspective, from a regional perspective, from a a national perspective, a federal perspective, the people you put in place, right, in these offices, are the people that in theory should be helping you evolve, right? In when it comes to social justice, or when it comes to anything, including something as ridiculous as wearing a mask. You know what I mean? Like, that's just where we're at. When we're politicizing something that science is telling you to do, when science is based in facts and empirical data, like, you know, we're kind of screwed up as a country. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. The Dan Le Batard Show is brought to you by DraftKings, America's top rated daily fantasy app. Dan, I want to start here real quick because I want to interrupt you. When you were making your impassioned commentary in the last segment, I fought every urge to make a joke because I noticed something. It just kind of popped in my head that I noticed it for the first time in about 35 minutes into the show. So I decided to go with your impassioned commentary and give my version of my opinion on your impassioned commentary. But I noticed that on our Zoom here, we all have our names for the most part, except you. It says Fat Face. Did you put that in there or did Mike do that?
That was put in there by Mike.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes. Thank you for not mentioning that during my impassioned commentary.
Man, it took every ounce of my being to hold back and not bring that up at that moment. Though I think it would have been better for comedic timing to actually do it because you were so impassioned. And then just to bring it all back to the center of what the core of this show is, which is the funny. I felt like it should have been what I did, but I was like, you know what? You know, I haven't worked with Dan in a long time. Let's just roll with the punches here. I can bring up Fat Face later.
Yep, you and thank you for doing so. That was the right place to do it right there. Now I will return to impassioned commentary.
The thing,
and feel free to go ahead and percolate on whatever jokes it is that you want here. You could put them in at the end of what I'm about to say. Yeah. But what is the division to me for as many different ways as we're arguing about everything, and now facts aren't facts and conversations are just ridiculous, and it doesn't matter what happens. If Fauci goes out there and is sitting in the stands with his mask down, Aubrey Huff rushes into the breach and accuses him of do as I say, not as I do, and Aubrey Huff, of all people, is now just trafficking in these things that are day-to-day annoyances. But I think that the division resides right here, Jorge. Like, we could continue to complicate it. I know many people, usually white people, are tired of this conversation. But when I say I don't recognize my country, and black people counter with, I do. When I say this doesn't happen in America, and black people are like, yeah, it does. When I say what I'm looking at, I don't recognize it, and black people are like, I do. Like, that is where we are in terms of all of this, going back to Kaepernick on what it is that flag represents when he kneels in front of it. It represents one thing to you, as every bit as Cuban as I am, and it represents something else to black people who recognize all of this stuff, including, what do you mean people are being thrown into unmarked vans by police officers who aren't dressed as police officers? And then the reporting seems to suggest that police officers are saying that things happened to cause that didn't actually happen. What do you mean the police report isn't a fact? I'm curious how you experience all of this descending from Cuba, Jorge. The only group with whom Trump has improved since 2016 is Cubans. It is the single group that his Q rating has improved with. There are no others. So when you see what you see in the streets, does it not remind you of the things your family told you about before freedom fell?
Yeah, absolutely. And I texted you that a long time ago when some of this stuff was happening. Like, literally, I texted you that. Like, this is how it plays out. Like, you know, it gives my mom PTSD. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, so I'm with you. And it is, you know, I feel like sometimes with Cubans, it's like you kind of fall for the banana in the tailpipe, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you've kind of been here before and you're falling for it again, right? Like, that's the immediate place my mind goes to when
the
I see
banana
stuff
and
like
the that. Tailpipe is the immediate place your mind goes to.
Yeah, like you're falling for the same, for the okie doke. You're falling for this again. Like, you fell for this once, you know, 50 years ago plus years ago, and now you're it seems like you're falling for similar rhetoric again. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of it. Banana in the tailpipe, Dan, is an excellent reference. Okay, you and I are of similar age where Eddie Murphy put the banana in the tailpipe of Sergeant Taggart and Billy's his name.
Rosewood.
I forget his last. Rosewood. And put it in their car.
The Roy Bellamy wheelhouse, ladies
Thank
and
you.
Gentlemen. It's
Thank
always
you.
There for you. Rosewood.
Thank you, Roy. Rosewood and Taggart's tailpipe, and they could not chase him. He took off, and they couldn't chase him. The banana in the tailpipe is an iconic moment in movie history and then became part of the zeitgeist.
All right, I need to ask the audience this. Billy and Chris, did you understand, yes or no, Sedano's, Billy, you first, did you understand Sedano's banana in the tailpipe reference? Because old man throw out his back on drugs, I don't think realizes that he's referencing a movie that is really early 90s and that you guys usually, 80s, late 80s. Do you know what the banana in the tailpipe is, Billy Gill?
Yeah, it's a classic, Dan.
You don't.
Who
do
doesn't
you?
Know?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Beverly Hills Cop, right?
Okay, Chris, do you know?
I got what he meant based off the context, but I had no clue of the reference.
Oh, come on.
Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Have you heard of the move Banana in the Tailpipe? At Lebatard Show.
I don't even know why I come to do this show.
You gave us the comedy accidentally.